Welcome to Light Talk, a podcast series exclusively for members of the American Society for Laser Medicine and Surgery. Light Talk supports the mission of ASLMS, which is to promote excellence in patient care by advancing biomedical application of lasers and other energy-based technologies worldwide. We hope you enjoy this edition of Light Talk with our host, Dr. Utpal Patel.
Dr. Tumulty, it's a pleasure to have you here today. Before we begin on talking about photomodulation and its clinical uses, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, thank you for inviting me here to talk about my research and photobiomodulation. I'm a physical therapist, and I work at a university, so I have an academic role. But I also maintain a clinical load as well. So I mix academia and clinical duties. I've been researching laser for 7 or 8 years now, and I came across it by accident. My main area of interest is musculoskeletal injury and sports injury, in particular tendinopathy. Mm-hmm. And 10 years ago, we had a new dean come to our department, and he suggested that maybe I should look at research into laser for those conditions. So it wasn't sort of ever on my agenda, if you like. But then over the years, getting more and more into it, reading around the literature, doing a few randomized controlled trials, I've come to use it quite often, particularly for tendon problems in my clinic.
Right. And that's great. And you know, as most people, they tend to get into their field by accident. So it sounds like kind of your story as well. And you've talked about photomodulation and its clinical applications. And you talked about using laser technology for Achilles tendinopathy. Can you tell us a little bit about what you mean when you say photomodulation in general, and what are some clinical applications with soft tissue injury, as well as your specific study on the Achilles tendinopathy?
Yes, sure. Originally, it was always described as stimulation when you're using laser. We always thought that you were stimulating a physiological process. But in the meantime, we found that we can also inhibit adverse processes, if you like. So the term was changed to photobiomodulation. With regards to the work I do, the way I understand its mechanism is that the mitochondria in the cell absorb the photons of light, produce more ATP, you get better signaling within the cell so that the cell does more of what it's supposed to do. For tendons, it means that we get an increase in nitric oxide, which sort of governs how much collagen is produced to help repair tendons. Specific effects would be anti-inflammatory effects. We get angiogenesis into the tendon. More collagen produced, which leads to better tensile strength for the tendon. Saying that, when you combine it with the right sort of exercise.
Right.
In my own practice, I very seldom would use the laser as a standalone treatment.
Right.
And that's sort of how we've done the research as well. My latest study on Achilles tendinopathy has used a regime of eccentric exercise and then an adjunct therapy of the laser to do the photobiomodulation to the physiological remodeling process that we need to recondition the tendon.
What laser do you use?
Oh, I have a class 4 laser. Mm-hmm. So it's quite a powerful one.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a certain amount of heating that happens during the treatment. The parameters I used in my study were 10 watts, but we pulsed the laser to maybe get better penetration.
Right.
And it's the manufacturer have defocused the beam a little bit, so we have quite a large spot size. I think it's 3 square centimeters, the spot size. And then we use a contact method and sort of scan up and down the tendon for about a 10 centimeter length.
How often do you do that?
In the study, we did it twice a week.
For how many weeks?
For 4 weeks.
Okay.
The gold standard treatment in the literature for Achilles tendons is this heavy load eccentric exercise. And since the late 90s, a group in Sweden started publishing on this. And they advocate 2 exercise sessions a day, 7 days a week for 12 weeks as a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
But patients find that a very arduous task. And for the latest study that we did, we decided to test a different regime of exercise of only twice a week, and then add in the laser as an adjunct therapy to see if we could get similar or better results. Because, as you can imagine, the compliance rate to that exercise regime of twice a day drop off quite a bit after they've done 2 or 3 weeks of that. So we had two groups of patients, and everyone in the trial did the heavy load eccentric exercises twice a week. And for the first 4 weeks, half of the group had the real laser prior to the exercise, and half the group had a placebo laser prior to exercise. And then for a further 8 weeks, the patients carried on the exercises under their own volition. The main outcome measure was the a functional questionnaire that measures some of their sport and activity, pain experiences, and so on and so forth. And the 12-week point was what we chose as our primary end point for measuring the outcome. At the 4-week point, so immediately after the treatment phase with the laser, there was a small difference between the groups. But at 12 weeks, there was quite a large difference between the groups, and it was statistically significant.
Well, if you notice a difference, actually in reality, it's likely that you'll get a better benefit because the compliance issue that you raised.
Mm.
Because you were doing it in a study, you had compliance, presumably, but likelihood is that compliance would be even, that issue would be, give you better results with the lasers,
mm.
because likelihood is that they wouldn't, those people are more likely to do it because it's not as trained.
Yep.
We
tracked compliance,
right.
And of course, for the twice a week regime,
right.
we had 100% compliance
right.
in the trial.
Right.
But for the whole 12 weeks,
right.
100% compliance. So even the 8 weeks where they weren't supervised doing their exercises, the patient still kept it going.
Right.
Whereas when you do the twice-a-day regime, that 8 weeks when they're on their own, the compliance gets less and less.
Right. So I think that's also a significant benefit of using it.
Mm.
Increasing the compliance alone can even add to the benefit
yeah.
on top. Well, that's fantastic. You know,
I think the main result of this is that we've reduced the amount of exercise they have to do, added laser to that regime, and got better results than if they had done the original gold standard exercise for 12 weeks.
Right. No, that those are, you know, really encouraging results, and something that, you know, all of us as ASLMS members who use lasers need to keep in mind, that, you know, there are so many various uses, and musculoskeletal injuries are certainly one of them. But as a researcher, you also are looking at the other uses that possibly can be done with a photomodulation, and are interested in new emerging technologies. Can you tell us a little bit about what might be the new fields that photomodulations may come to be used in?
Yes. Because you're looking at all the literature to set up these research studies, you often come across things in your searches that are outside your normal sphere of interest, and I came across a few studies that indicated there could be an endocrinology type application for the laser, And these studies were animal studies and a human study on hypothyroidism that had some promising results. And I think that's an area where we should be looking to see if we can measure the efficacy and effectiveness of laser for that sort of application. What really excites me is the work done by our colleague Juanita Anders, who's the president of ASLMS, looking at brain injury and spinal cord injury. Musculoskeletal injuries and sports injuries tend to get better over time, even if you do nothing to them. And I'm not trying to put us all out of business here, but we can't speed that process up or enhance performance or whatever. But those neurological problems, those endocrine problems, they are a bit more difficult to treat, and the patient gets a bit of a raw deal with the disease or the process.
Right.
And if we can help with these laser applications to slow down disease processes or lessen the impact, I think that's a good area to start looking at.
Right.
Musculoskeletal wise, apart from treating injury, there is a body of research emerging where they are using it as a sort of prophylactic, and they are giving people irradiation with the laser before exercise sessions. And then they reduce the amount of lactate acid that builds up during the exercise, so people then don't get the sort of muscle soreness and everything post-exercise. They recover quickly from the exercise bout, and then they can train sooner afterwards. So I suppose, in a way, performance enhancing application for laser. But again, that's in the early stages of the research process.
Well, we'll have to see if the sports governing bodies would regulate, how they would regulate that. But you know, thank you for sharing with us your own work in the musculoskeletal injury, as well as giving us hope about the new and emerging technologies of laser lights. Thank you once again.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Light Talk, a podcast series from the American Society for Laser Medicine and Surgery. Visit aslms.org for updated podcast releases and current member information.